Oh, welcome to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Kimball, founder and editor of Kimball Charting Solutions. And as always, Chris has sent me a handful of charts that will be posted below. Today, we are focusing more on the broader averages and diving down into some of the sectors within these broad averages that all seem to be painting what could be a pretty positive and bullish picture for the overall markets. We're first starting off with this three pack of charts from left to right. The charts are the QQEW, we have the triple Q, and then the SMH. Chris, just before we get into these charts, can you please explain what all these symbols are to our listeners?
You bet, Corey, and thanks for having us back. Everyone, the first chart we'll look at is QQEW, which is the NASDAQ 100 ETF on an equal weight basis. The second chart we'll talk about is QQQ, and the difference between the two is the QQQs that are very popular are cap-weighted, so the FANG stocks that we always hear about have a greater influence on the QQQ. And on the QQEW, it includes 100 stocks, but the 100th stock has the same influence as the number one cap stock, which would be Apple. So we wanted to look at both cap-weighted and equal-weighted, and then the third chart is SMH, which is the semiconductor ETF.
Okay, now what we're seeing here is with the middle chart and the chart on the right, so the semiconductor and the triple Q, that these are looking very close to breaking out, but that equal-weighted NASDAQ 100, the QQEW, that's already broken out. So is that telling us that in more of a broad sense, this market rally has been encompassing a lot more stocks? It's not just led simply by those high-flying tech stocks again?
Great question, Corey. My gut would say, you know, which two scenarios would you rather have? QQQ breaking out first and QQEW second, or what we're seeing now is QQEW and then QQQ testing last year's high? I'd rather have the current scenario, because this is really an oddity that the broader equal weighted is actually reflecting strength over the cap weighted. And so historically, this is a positive sign. And as we speak today, the Qs are testing last year's highs. And so same with semiconductors in the third chart on the right. And so if those two would break out, you know, you'd have a triple breakout in tech. Tech is represents leadership over the last many years. Tech has been, you know, like if we would look, Corey, at a comparison of growth over value, that ratio is at all-time highs this week. And so we didn't include that in today's charts, but that's another sign that's reflecting that growth and tech are sending positive signals to the broad market.
So even with the semiconductor chart, one thing that you brought up to me off mic is the fact that it's also testing highs from back in 2000, I believe, or 2003. So this is really a true all-time high, levels that we haven't seen in, well, even longer than this current bull run's been going on for. Can you please explain?
Yes, great point, Corey. Yes, we all know that semiconductors are somewhat the guts of, you know, the computer industry. And you're right, Corey, if we look at the 2000 highs in semiconductors, they were tagged last year at the 112, you know, level. And then we saw this drop of almost 30% in semiconductors, and now they're roaring back. So when you think of breakout levels, the first two charts are just doing nothing more than testing a breakout of September highs. But the semiconductors, the guts of the computers, Corey, and listeners, are testing a 19-year breakout level, because, you know, when they peaked in 2000, we all know that was the dot-com highs. And then tech fell about 90% in 3 years. So to me, the breakout test of SMH is more important than the breakout of the other two, because it goes back to highs of, you know, such important highs in the tech world, you know, which were the 2000 dot-com highs.
So it's still important to know that QQQ and these semiconductors have not broken out yet, but they are right at that level. This is also put into context in that next chart. So this is just a longer term look at the triple Qs here. And again, it's testing out last year's high. And you point out that if tech succeeds in this breakout, obviously a very bullish message. But what about that second point that you make, that bulls do not want this to be a double top? What happens if we turn around right here? How much does it change this overall chart?
This chart is taking, to me, two of the most emotional highs and lows in technology you know, in 40 years, you know, which is the 2000 high at point number A, you'll see in the chart, in the 2003 low. And everyone, so you take that distance, and then the first Fibonacci extension level is 61% advance of that whole thing. And so, as Corey mentioned, it ran right into it last year. It actually closed maybe about 2% above the 61% level, and then fell almost 20, and now we're back knocking on last year's highs. And so if selling would take place here, that'd be a pretty sweaty palm place for you know, the tech world. But as we were, that's why I wanted to show that the closer chart, which we looked at first, if the Qs could take out last year's highs, it should attract, you know, buyers. So this is a rare and important inflection point that I think everybody, I wanted to raise awareness in today's call.
So is there any consideration, too, that you give that a lot of the bears are saying this bull market has just gone on for so long that whatever maybe push to all-time highs we could get from here, fact of the matter is, just due to the length of this bull market, we're due for a recession or a major correction, more so than just that 20% correction that we got last year. Do you consider that at all?
You know, Corey, I don't think we should be an ostrich and stick our head in the sand, you know, to that fact. You know, my mentor and friend was Sir John Templeton. You know, he taught me so many things on valuations. And there's no doubt, as you're just mentioning, Corey, this market from a historical valuation perspective is not cheap. But the main thing about our work is, you know, that I want to just share a belief system is you can be a follower or a fighter. And so that's a follower of a trend or a fighter of a trend. And someday this these long-term trends will come to an end. But right now we still remain, despite that 20% decline last, you know, into Christmas, Corey, 9-year rising support did not break. And so a lot of people became trend fighters at that time. We saw the largest liquidation and outflows of ETFs and funds since the financial crisis low. And that was a great point to enter into the market, not to be bailing from it. So someday, you know, it will end, Corey, there's no doubt. And I think I'd be more concerned if I was long, Corey, that I heard everybody talking about Dow 30,000. And I'm less concerned when people talk about how ugly things are and how a recession is imminent. Because as we both and everybody on the call knows, Mr. Market's job is to do what? It's to fool the majority. So I'd really be more concerned at today's marketplace if we just saw giddy enthusiasm versus, I think it's not too tough to find a lot of pessimism in today's marketplace.
Boy, are you ever right. And you know what? That just goes to speak to that whole comment of bull markets climb a wall of worry. There's still a lot of worry out there. Let's move on to this 4-pack of charts, all again moving higher and showing just how positive this bull market has been. Top left is the S&P 500. Right is the Dow Industrial Average. Bottom left is, again, those triple Qs. And the bottom right is this Dow Transport, all of which have gone through nice price appreciations and are testing these Fibonacci levels. What do you think about where all these charts stand? It looks very similar, all of the charts.
Yeah, the takeaway here, Corey, is why I wanted to share this with everybody, is as you just mentioned, the 9-year trends remain up despite the hiccup that we saw, you know, into Christmas. All that was nothing more so far than a retest of long-term support. But each of these ran into the Fibonacci extension levels last year for the first time in history. And then what did they do? Bang, they backed off around 20%, you know, on average. Now they're making the second and a third attempt to try to get through this 800-pound gorilla. And so these Fib levels, in my opinion, resistance is resistance. It's until broken. These are 800-pound resistance levels. But the reason I wanted to share it with the audience is if these markets would succeed in on, you know, a multiple basis taking out these 800-pound gorillas, they just kick the guy in the tail and they push it aside and they break out. Odds are pretty decent. You know, they're above 50%, in my opinion, that those breakouts would attract even more buying pressure because people would say, uh-oh, we're now above last year's highs. We've got some type of a potential new leg starting on our hands.
Yeah, that FOMO almost kicking back into the market when that happens. One other thing to note on these charts, you mentioned the 800-pound gorilla being that resistance. I also think it's another 800-pound gorilla being those uptrend lines that have consistently held through this 9-plus years for some of these charts. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Corey. You know, I humbly, I was very concerned. I was on the edge of my seat to suggest to our one of our reports, Corey, is called the Global Trends Indicator Report, and its sole focus is just looking at long-term trends, because I think of the three reports we write, that's the most important report, Corey, because if you know the long-term trend, you're not going to make too many mistakes. You know, you're not going to try to get too fancy. And if the long-term trend's up, even if you want a short, you got to know that this is going against the wind and, you know, you're fighting that trend. So you hit it on the head, Corey. You know, right now, these long-term trend lines, you know, are still in play. And until broken, no matter what happened through Christmas, you know, a lot of people wanted to, you know, that definition of a bear market. Yeah, the market did decline near 20%, and some things fell more than 20. But I think if you really get, you know, in an airplane and look at these charts from a 30,000-foot view, the trends are still intact. You know, there's if these extension levels, Corey, are broken to the upside, people will look back and say the last, you know, because things kind of peaked in, what, January of last year, so let's just call it 15 months. Some people will make the case that a upper level base or a trading range for 15 months took place as a base to try to push higher from. That cannot be eliminated at this time. That's a potential of what we've been witnessing for 15 months.
All right, let's look to the final chart here, the NYSE, the advanced decline line. Again, trend remains up, as you say, which sends a positive message to stocks. But you also say caution message to bulls if support breaks at 1. However, it's already broken higher, and therefore, well, you know what? It is standing still, very positive signal. What do you want to outline here in this AD line chart?
A reiteration of what you said, Corey, when everybody gets a look at this, the long-term trend remains up. The first bullish divergence in the AD line, Corey, took place in December. If we all remember that the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, you know, Russell, small caps, mid caps, you name it, transports, they all, Corey, at Christmas broke below the February lows of the prior year. So that's a negative that took place. But guess what the AD line did not do? It actually stayed above the February lows and started pushing higher. So that actually was a first sign of a bullish divergence taking place from the AD line. And now another bullish divergence, Corey, is taking place currently because the AD line is at all-time highs, and yet the Dow, the S&P, the transport, small caps, mid caps, the NYSE, they all are below last year's high. So bullish divergence in December took place, a message from the AD line, and we're seeing another one currently. So this slightly moves the odds higher that some of these FIB extension levels could be taken out to the upside.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there, Chris. But I think overall, although it's not a 100% guarantee type call, it does look like these markets are set for, who knows, another run higher to all-time highs. Of course, they haven't broken out on all of these charts that you are sharing with us, but I really think that equal-weighted NASDAQ 100 is telling, well, quite an interesting and bullish picture. But hey, overall, still, attention is on U.S. equity markets, and they continue to move higher, and now it's more of a broad-based recovery more than anything. Chris, great chatting with you. Everyone, click the link below. Go visit Chris's website. Sign up for his subscription service or at least his free email blast, and you get kept up to date on any market that seems to be moving in an interesting direction. Chris, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey.